Marley was dead. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it. And Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was dead as a doornail. Mind, I don't mean to say that I know of my own knowledge what there is particularly dead about a doornail. I might have been inclined myself to regard a coffin nail as the deadest piece of ironmongery in the trade. But the wisdom of our ancestors is in the simile, and my unhallowed hands shall not disturb it, or the country's done for. You will therefore permit me to repeat it emphatically that Marley was as dead as a doornail. Scrooge knew it? Of course he did. How could it be otherwise? Scrooge and he were partners for I don't know how many years. Scrooge was his sole executor, his sole administrator, his sole assign, his sole residuary legatee, his sole friend, and his sole mourner. And even Scrooge was not so dreadfully cut up by the sad event, but that he was an excellent man of business on the very day of the funeral and solemnized it with an undoubted bargain. The mention of Marley's funeral brings me back to the point I started from. There is no doubt that Marley was dead. This must be distinctly understood, or nothing wonderful can come of the story I am going to relate.
Looking older and more wicked than ever.
I knew he wouldn't disappoint us. Oh!
Who are you?
In life, we were your partners, Jacob and Robert Marley.
It looks like you, but I don't believe it.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little thing can affect them. A slight disorder of the stomach can make them cheat. You may be a bit of undigested beef, a blob of mustard, a crumb of cheese. Yes, there's more of gravy than of grave about you.
Oh! More of gravy than of grave?
What a terrible pun. Where do you get those jokes?
Beef, comedy to the bears, Ebenezer.
Please, Jacob, Robert, don't criticize me. You always criticize me.
We were always heckling you.
It's good to be heckling again.
It's good to be doing anything again.
Why do you come to me?
We're Marley and Marley, avarice and greed. We took advantage of the poor, just ignored the needy. We specialize in causing pain, spreading fear and doubt. And if you could not pay the rent, we simply threw you out.
There was the year we evicted the entire orphanage.
I remember the little tykes all standing in the snowbank with their little frostbitten teddy bears.
We're Marley and Marley, our hearts were painted black. We should have known our evil deeds would put us both in shackles. Captive bound, we're double iron, exhausted by the weight. As freedom comes from giving law, so prison comes with hate.
We're Marley and Marley. We're Marley and Marley.
But my friends, you were not unfeeling towards your fellow men.
True. There was something about mankind we loved.
I think it was their money.
Doomed, Scrooge. You're doomed for all time.
Your future is a horror story written by your crime.
Your chains are forged by what you say and do.
You'll have your fun when life is done. A nightmare waits for you.
What are these terrible chains?
The chains! We forged these chains in life
your chain yourself.
Humbug. Speak comfort to me, friends.
Comfort! You will be haunted by three spirits.
Haunted? I've already had enough of that.
Without these visits, you cannot hope to avoid the path we tread. Expect the first ghost tonight when the bell tolls one.
Can't I meet them all at once and get it over with?
When the bell tolls one.
We're Marley and Marley. Whoa. We're Marley and Marley. Whoa.
We're Marley and Marley.
Charles Dickens, behind Shakespeare, is the most widely known and widely read of English authors. He has written, or he wrote, because he's not writing anymore, many, many novels, of which I'm sure you read many of them in high school, were forced to read or read for your own pleasure, whatever. But you know of Charles Dickens, and you know of this story, A Christmas Carol. It is probably one of his most familiar works. It is undoubtedly known by you this season, because at some point on some channel of the 4,000 channels that you have at home, there will be one of the many representations of this story. It's been done many, many times. A Christmas Carol. It's been done by George C. Scott as Ebenezer Scrooge. It's been done by Mickey Mouse as Bob Cratchit. It's been done with Bill Murray playing Ebenezer Scrooge in his modern rendition of Scrooged. Very funny movie. It's been done by the Muppets, if you couldn't tell who that was, with, of course, Kermit the Frog, Bob Cratchit. It has been done with TNT, producing one with Patrick Stewart. Captain Jean-Luc Picard from Star Trek plays Ebenezer Scrooge. It's been done so many times in so many different ways that you are likely to see one. There's also different representations of it through sitcoms. I remember A Fresh Prince of Bel-Air one time where Will Smith was visited by three ghosts, three spirits. I remember a Smurfs episode. That's right, I watched the Smurfs. I believe it was it Hefty? One of the Smurfs was visited by the three spirits. I mean, it's everywhere. This story has been told so many times, you are very keenly aware of it. And you might be wondering, okay, so what does that have to do with Jesus? Because, you know, that's what we're all about here, is Jesus. Well, let me tell you this. First of all, this set it up. This right here, in the Muppets, it's two Marleys. In most every other story, it's one Marley. But I love the Muppets, Jacob and Bob Marley, if y'all got the shorter version of that, are his old partners. And they come and they set up the whole story. Basically, if you know the story, Scrooge is a terrible man. He has lived his life for one purpose only, himself, to achieve and gain things for himself and for himself only. Doesn't matter what he has to do it. That's what his life is all about. In life, his partners, Jacob and Bob, were also the same way. They lived the same way, and they died. And because of their actions during life, they are subjected to a life, an afterlife, of wandering the world with these chains that they have themselves created through their selfishness and their greed. And right here, they come back and they say, Scrooge, this is what's going to happen to you. You have one chance. One chance. It's going to happen tonight at the count of one. So they set up the whole story for you. They set up the story of basically reconciliation. I love the way that this story starts. The very first three words. Marley was dead. Marley was dead. And then Dickens, a few paragraphs later, says, unless you understand that, nothing else is going to make a difference. Unless you understand these three words, Marley was dead, nothing that you hear from this point on is going to mean anything to you. You know, for my purposes, unless you understand that Jesus Christ died and that he rose again, nothing else is going to matter. Unless you understand that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, whom we celebrate his birth during this time of year, that he lived and died and then rose again from the grave, unless you understand that, nothing's going to matter. That's what this is all about. It's about looking into the past, living in the present, and then looking forward to the future. And those are the three ghosts that visit Scrooge on this night. The ghosts of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. Today, of course, we're going to be talking about the first, the ghost of Christmas past. And we're going to be looking at the Advent theme of peace alongside of that, because quite clearly a lot of us need to feel the peace of Jesus Christ for our past. A lot of us need to understand the peace that passes all understanding. If you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 is, of course, the story of Christmas. It's the story of the coming of Christ, Luke's representation of it. At verse 8, that night some shepherds were in the fields outside the village guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born tonight in Bethlehem, the city of David. And this is how you will recognize him. You will find a baby laying in a manger wrapped snugly in strips of cloth." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God. "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to all whom God favors." Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. The coming of Jesus Christ was told to these shepherds by angels, and with it they said, "Peace on earth." Jesus Christ, the Lord, yes, the Messiah is here. Now, peace on earth. Let's forget about the past and live in the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ. The peace that passes all surpasses all understanding. It's that thing that we hear so often that, you know, Isaiah calls him as he foretells the future, as he's prophesying that Christ would come. He calls him the Prince of Peace. It is a theme. Jesus' life. Peace. It's about peace. Scrooge, when he is first visited by the ghost of Christmas past, of course he doesn't know that it is that ghost at the time, but when he is visited by this ghost, he experiences a little anxiety. Well, I mean, it's a ghost, so of course he's going to experience anxiety in his bedroom chambers. A little hand sticks through his bedclothes. You know, I'd be a little freaked out too, but he experiences anxiety for a different reason, one that is that's maybe a little confusing at first when you look at it and you see what's going on. We have a couple of clips here from the Patrick Stewart version, the TNT's A Christmas Carol. And this first one is Ebenezer Scrooge meeting the ghost of Christmas past.
Quarter past. Half past. Quarter to it. The hour itself. Nothing's happened. Whose coming was foretold?
I am.
Who? What are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No. Your past.
Spirit, put on your cap. Be covered.
What? Would you so soon put out the light I give? Is it not enough that you are one of those whose passions made this cap? And forced me to wear it low upon my brow.
No intention of offending you, sir. Thank you. What business brings you here?
Your welfare.
Oh, well, I'm much obliged to you. But a peaceful night of unbroken rest would have been more conducive to that end.
Your reclamation, then. Come with me.
Some other time, perhaps. I'm not dressed. I have a weak chest. Monstrous head cold.
Rise and walk with me.
sees this ghost of Christmas past, and the ghost says, okay, this is why I'm here, for your reclamation. I have come so that you could be redeemed. I have come so that you can find salvation. I've come to give you peace. And what does Scrooge do? No. I have a weak chest or a heavy chest. I have a terrible cold. And then even when the ghost of Christmas past reaches out his hand and kind of bids him forward, he's still shaking his head as he's moving forward. You know, it's kind of ironic that the being that would bring him peace, he's fighting against and he's unsure about. Me too. Yeah, me too. When Jesus Christ comes to me and offering me that love and that peace, and it's coming with looking back at myself and looking back at my life and some of the things that I carry forward, I'm like, I don't know if I want to go down that road. I don't know if I'm ready to take those steps. Just wait a minute. But that's why Jesus came to bring us peace. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 5. He says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. We have peace because of Jesus Christ. So here's the thing. If you've come here for any length of time, you know my story. You know my testimony. I talk about it quite frequently. I don't ever cover it up. I did drugs in college. I did alcohol in college. It's amazing I'm not dead or in jail. I was as far away from God as you could get. And there are moments, and there were moments that I was very embarrassed by that. There were moments that I was just so ashamed of myself by that, that anyone, even the Lord Jesus Christ himself, reaching out to me saying, it's okay, I'd be like, oh, I really don't want to look at that. I know what's underneath that bandage, and I don't want to see that scar. I know the road that I've traveled down. I know the things that I've done. I know the things that I've said. First of all, why in the world would you even want to come to me? But secondly, now that you're here, I don't know. I believe. I mean, I went through times like this. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus Christ. And yet I was so unwilling to accept his forgiveness and for his peace. I was so unwilling to do that I would just carry this stuff with me. And it would weigh on me. And I would walk into rooms, and in the back of my mind, no one knows me from, you know, they don't know me, they don't know my story, but I'd walk into rooms, and I would know that it was there. And I would carry it forward. And Jesus is going, why? Why are you doing that to yourself? It's done. I've taken care of it. The actions you've made, the things you've said, you're washed clean. Don't you get it yet? That I did this for you. That I came here. I was born a little baby child. And I rose to be a man. And I lived my life. And then I took it for you. The suffering and the death. So here's the thing. I rose again. So that you might have life. So that you might live your life and not carry those things forward with you. That you may leave them at the foot of the cross. It's okay. But God, I did it. It's okay. Have peace about this. So often that's kind of hard to do, isn't it? We carry so much stuff forward with us. We carry those things and those decisions and those choices that we've made in our lives that maybe some people don't even know about. Maybe nobody knows about. But we do. And even though we show up on a Sunday morning, and even though we're celebrating the Christmas season, and we got our Christmas tree up and our lights out, and we have all these things going in one direction, and we're excited about it, still in the back of our mind, we're like, there's no way. I know what I've done. And it's that unsettledness, that stirring inside of you, that Jesus Christ is going, let it go. The angel said when I came that there would be peace on earth. Accept it. Accept it. Lay it at the foot of the cross. Let it go. Move on with your life. I have. I mean, that's the thing, is a lot of times God's forgiving us, but we're not forgiving ourselves. You know, we have this thing, you know, this darkness, this cancer that's a part of us, and when it's gone, we're like, well, that defines who I am. Who am I now? Because people have asked me, if I had it to do over again, would I live my life in college the same way? And I'm like, wow, that is an interesting question. Because on one side, I had a lot of fun. Not going to lie to you. But I also know how destructive it was. And I know the darkness that it truly filled me with, because it wasn't really, it was a surface fun. It wasn't a deep fun. It was something that was here today and gone tomorrow. There was a hole inside of me that I was trying to fill with other things. And it made me who I am today. It's made me the person who is able to come in front of a congregation here in the sanctuary, wherever, and say, I have walked down that path. And Jesus Christ still loves me. And Jesus Christ still called me to be a preacher, to be a minister in his house. And it's opened doors of ministry for people that have experienced similar things. Like, seriously, if Crocker can do this, surely I. So would I live my life the same way? I would like, part of me would like to have never experienced some of the things that I experienced. The images and things that could flood my mind, I would love to have never seen. And yet, so I have to deal with that. And I have to walk forward in my path of righteousness that I am trying to walk on, the path that God has laid before me. And I have to say, am I willing to let it go? Because here's the deal. God has already. God looked at me a long time ago and said, you're an idiot. Stop doing those things. I forgive you, but you're still an idiot. I love you, but you're acting like an idiot. He may not call you those things. He might be nicer to you, but I'm not that smart. He's like, I forgive you. Just move forward. Why are you living in the past? Why are you carrying those things forward? They're slowing you down. There is so much joy in life that you're missing because you're holding on to that. Let it go. Forgive yourself, because I've already forgiven you. I already died for you. My blood has already washed you clean. My peace is upon you. Accept it. That's the thing, is we got to accept it. We have to open ourselves up, and no matter what it is. You know, it's not just things that you do yourself that you can carry forward, that give you that unsettledness, that give you that desire to maybe pull yourself away from God. It's not just those things. It's things that maybe have been done to you, circumstances that were out of your control. That was what it was for Scrooge. This next scene, short scene right here, shows that. He and the ghost of Christmas past are going into his childhood.
Why didn't you go home for Christmas?
I wasn't wanted. My father turned against me when my mother died. He sent me away. Didn't want to see me ever.
That's hard.
Life is hard.
Scrooge's life right there. You can see all the actions that he has done from that moment when he was a child to the moment that he is sitting right there in the school with the ghost of Christmas. You can see that all of those stem from being rejected by his dad, from being kicked out of his home and told, basically, no one cares about you. No one. The scene right before that, he was walking up the school pathway and he saw all of his buddies and his friends from school going home for Christmas, for the Christmas holidays. And yet there he sat. Why? Because his father wanted nothing to do with him. And he told him, "You're not worth anything to me. No one cares about you. No one loves you." And the ghost said, "Wow, that must be hard. Life is hard. So you got to look out for yourself." So what does he do? He carries that forward. And he looks out for himself. They flash forward a little bit to a time when he was happy. He was an intern at the Fezziwigs place of business. And he fell in love with a beautiful girl. And then they flash forward a little bit more. And you see the girl saying goodbye to him. Why? Because he's only choosing himself. He's only looking out for himself. The theme of his life. It wasn't something that he did. It was something that was done to him. Yet it left a scar so deep that it affected his entire life. That it wrote the story for him. And he was a willing participant in that story. I'm not going to try to change it. This is my story. This is the way I will live. And you can see the unsettledness in him as he is sitting there watching this event from the past when his beautiful Belle is saying goodbye to him. And he's yelling at his younger self, "Get up, go after her." Because he knows. Because he knows what's going to happen. And he knows the unsettledness that he has lived with for his entire life. He needs peace. He needs peace about those things that maybe he's done, but he needs peace also about events that were out of his control. Things that have happened to him. And some of you might be experiencing the same thing. Something occurred to you in your past that you are carrying something forward that has nothing to do with your actions, but it has shaped who you are. And it tears you up. And it's one of those things that dwells inside of you like a cancer and it eats at you and you know it's not good. But how can you get rid of it if it's who you are? Jesus Christ has washed those clean. Jesus Christ came to the cross so that we could be liberated from those things, so that we could experience life and move forward, rejoicing that the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace was born upon this earth. Peace. It's something at this time of year is hard to grasp. When we're running around to malls and shopping and trying to get our Christmas lights up, of which people in Northwood are doing a very poor job. Get out there. Come on, get your lights up. Let's represent as a neighborhood. You're trying to get all these things together. You have Christmas parties going on. You have to go see your family. And some of you don't want to do that because maybe that's one of those things you're carrying. And all these things. And the world seems to speed up this time of year. Peace. That's what he offers us. That's what he offers us is peace. The peace that we don't even understand because it can give us peace in the worst situations. It can give us peace in the toughest of times for those things that we have done and those things that we even haven't done but have shaped us. Drop them today. Let them go. The worship team's coming up right now, and they're going to sing a song. We are going to sing a song called Indescribable. God is indescribable. How incredibly powerful and loving that He is. We don't have words, really, to describe it. Hence the title. We don't have words, necessarily, to describe the peace that God can bring us. The peace to let go of those things that we have carried with us for our entire lives. Those things that we have done, let it go. I mean, you can see Scrooge was so scared to see the past because he didn't want to remember those things, maybe. And all the ghost said he was offering is reclamation. I'm here to bring you peace. I'm here to help you let it go. Today when we sing this song, just do that. Let it go. Give it up, whatever it is. You don't need to tell anybody about it. You don't need to turn to your neighbor and say, "Okay, this is what I did when I was 10. This is what happened to me. Just let it go at the cross today. The peace of Jesus Christ is available to us if we just accept it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who so willingly gave his life for us, that we might come to him in the darkest of hours, that we might come to him with the heaviest of burdens. And as we let them go at his feet, that we might experience his love and his peace. Thank you, Lord.